Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our latest podcast interview. And I'm delighted to be interviewing Charles William Lane, who's the writer, producer, director of a wonderful short, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, black comedy, because that's kind of the vibe I felt with this film called We Are the Apocalypse. A brilliant film. Charles, thank you very much for joining us today. Really great to chat to you. And just a quick synopsis about the film. It is an arts collective turns to terrorism to enact a grand scheme of social justice, but their plans go awry when they realise they've been conned from within. With nothing to lose, they change tack and return to what they know best. Charles is a New York-based television producer, writer and director, working mostly in the true crime genre. He's produced programming for ABC, CBS, NBC, Investigation Discovery, CNN and the Oxygen Channel. He has also an extensive background in theatre music, which he draws from his writing. As I say, Charles, thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Did you mind me referring it as kind of a black comedy? There are some amusing moments in it.
Not at all. I someone asked me recently and I said, well, black comedy, yeah, or maybe a bleak comedy.
Mate, I was going to say gallows humor. I don't know if that crosses to you, but where the heck did this come from? I mean, what's the background to this? The writing this.
Well, I in writing the short, as you know, I think I mentioned before, I wrote a feature screenplay which is now called Identification, Laura Bracken. Yeah. And I sent it out to a lot of festivals. I won some festivals and made a lot of connections. I got a lot of good feedback as the screenplay progressed and hadn't had any luck getting it produced. And I thought, well, as a possible calling card, maybe I should just write, produce, and direct my own short, because I do have a history. I have a background in theater. I originally majored in theater at university. So I said, let me write a short, which is a little more daunting than it sounded at the time, because it's just a microcosm of thought. Very often shorts are not even stories. They're just a thought. I had trouble bringing it down more than, I thought it was gonna be 20 minutes. It wound up being almost 30 minutes because I had more than one thought. I always loved the two genres, I guess, that I've always loved is Mistaken Identity, North by Northwest is a good example, or Frenzy, two Hitchcock examples.
Brilliant. Both brilliant films, yeah.
And I also love stories. I grew up in the era of the Baader-Meinhof group, the SLA, Symbionese Liberation Army, when Patty Hearst was, kidnapped, the Weathermen in New York. And I like the idea of the gang who couldn't shoot straight, which was the name of a book when I was growing up. So putting that together, and also Fassbinder, it's funny, I had never seen, I think it's called Third Generation, which is about a terrorist group, the Fassbinder film, until after I wrote my short. But that's how it really came about. It took me about 3 months to write it. And then I had to put it together, which was not as easy as I expected, but.
No, and that's the thing, it's the actual production. And what I like to point out often is, I know you say 30 minutes, but when people that aren't connected with the industry, or what people that aren't connected with the industry won't ever realise, is that 30 minutes is actually blood, sweat and tears, and could be months, if not weeks, if not, well, months and weeks, might in fact sometimes it could be years, but it's the whole putting it together. I mean, what was the start to the post, what was the timeline for you to get this finished?
Well, it was it took about 3 months to write it off and on.
Yeah.
The summer of 2019. I worked on a show that summer with my director of photography, John L. Murphy, Yeah. And at the end of the run of the show that we did together, I became so enamored with his work and his ease of it. He was so easy to work with that we were doing recreations for a true crime show. Yeah. That I said, if I'm ready to shoot a short film soon, would you be on board? What do you charge? What do you? And he became, I could have never done it without him. He became my, I hate to use partner in crime, but he did. He went above and beyond. So from after I wrote it, I sent the first draft to him and he said, I'm on board.
Yeah.
That was September of 2019. We started shooting the week of January 12th, 2020. And it was only the initial, so not a long, it was a 3-day shoot. And then about a month later, we had a pickup day where we shot all the garage scenes and everything. And I only had my lead actor, DR, and my lead actress. I only had DR for 3 days, the initial 3 days, and her for only the first 2 days. So we had to cram a lot into that time period. I was so therefore from first thought of that story, it was about 8 months till I finished shooting.
Right.
I did have an editor who was supposed to do it gratis, a wonderful editor, and then the pandemic hit and we sat on it for a year.
Right, yeah.
And I finally said, I can't wait for you. And I hired someone who, as you probably know, with low budget, this was self-funded.
Yeah.
The number of mistakes, no matter how exacting you are, planning the shoot, planning everything, the number of mistakes that happen just, you know, not even because of myself, my DP, my actors, just, you know, happenstance are so numerous, I can't even mention. So, the editor that I wound up hiring, his name is Derek LaRocque. He really saved my film. He, where I didn't have to take it anywhere for color correct, for ADR. I did no ADRs.
There was no ADR.
And we had massive sound problems with the location, the initial location. So it was, I feel like you treat people well and you get it back.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely, totally agree. I do some drone shooting for clients as a sideline. And I know exactly what you mean, because I can shoot 90 minutes. And from that, often I can only extrapolate 2 minutes.
Absolutely. Because,
you know, so I know exactly where you're coming from. I've got to ask you about Pat Skipper. For those that don't know, Pat Skipper is one of those faces that I've seen in lots and lots of things. He's a really well-known face. He's been in literally hundreds of films and shows. He's been all over the place. This CSI, and in fact, I'm just going to read his roster here.
Scully's brother.
Bosch, we are... LA Confidential TV series, Mad Men, didn't even know he was in Mad Men, Boston Legal, Young and the Restless. Sorry, how on earth did you bring him on board for this?
Well, being an being an X-Files fan, I wasn't. It's a funny story. I went to Florida State my second and third year of university, and then I dropped out to stay in London, actually.
Yeah.
And Pat Skipper and I were in the play Lion and Winter together at Florida.
Oh, wow, really?
And he played Philip, and I played John, and we became very good friends. And then we were roommates on the London Foreign Study Program. He was older than me, so we came back to Florida. I went back to London, and he went to Yale Drama School.
Right.
And never saw him again. And then because of Facebook, we became Facebook friends. And I was in LA in April of 2018, and we had lunch. And I said, would you be in my short if I write a short? And he said, SAG day rate and fly me to New York. So I did that.
Fantastic. I mean, I have to say, everything about this, I mean, you sort of said you had endless problems, which it seems to be every filmmaker's bane, of course, but the film is really, is really, really good. It's actually, it's fantastic. And I should also point out that everyone is really good in this film. It's just that it just so happens that with him, it was just, I was looking, I recognize that guy, because you do, don't you? You know, and then I was like, I realized I'd seen him in a shed load of stuff. And what about the other main actors or actresses in the film? For instance, so we were Sarah, who plays Tony, and Yari and Helen. What was the situation in bringing them in? Did you already know them? Was that kind of like an open casting?
Sarah Street, who plays Tony,
yeah,
which is funny. I didn't ask her to do an American accent. She's from Cork. She's an Irish actress.
Wow.
She lives in New York, and I actually, through a friend of mine, a British friend of mine, they started a theater company about 5 years ago called Pond Theater Company. And yeah, I was a supporter at the time because he was a friend of mine. And I saw her in a few plays. She was wonderful. So I contacted her and she said, I offered her the part of Maria.
Right.
Because I thought she was much younger than she is. I didn't realize she was, I'm not going to say how old she is, but.
No.
And she said, she read the script and she said, I'll do it, but only if I could play Tony. Because I originally written Tony as a 50-year-old.
Right.
She's nowhere near 50, I can tell you. Right. So I said, absolutely. So she came on board to play Tony. The guy who played Robbie, the professor, who they call the professor, mm-hmm, that's a friend of mine. I used to manage the New York Jazz Club, the Blue Note. And his father and his aunt are famous. His father was a famous musician. His aunt is a famous Hollywood actress. And he and I worked together for a long time. And I asked him to come on, and he did. The other two actors, strangely enough, I did not cast until like a week and a half before the shoot. They were recasts because I had people drop out because people, you know, people do that. I had a wonderful actress playing Maria who had to drop out to do a feature film. So I said, that's fine, I get it. and I had another actor that got stuck in Israel. And I'm glad what happened because those two actors really came to the plate with very little time to be off book. And I think, embrace their characters.
And with all the experience you've got in terms of what you've done before, and I working for CNN and the like, and I've done theatre work, and so you've got all that behind you. But even with that, when you're making a film, because that's an advantage. I know it might be documentary work, of course, but you still got the advantage of filmmaking, and I'm sure it held you in good stead. But even with all of that, and I know there things went wrong, was it still more than you expected when you were putting this film together?
Absolutely. And I mean, this is half tongue in cheek, but when you work in television, say work for CNN, you have a budget.
Yeah.
Somebody else has the money and you know what your budget is. When it's your money, it's a big difference.
And
there's always, as I said, there's always surprises that you don't expect. I had a wonderful line producer, really wonderful.
Yeah.
Who I gave my credit card to and said, put everything on there.
Oh, God.
And she misunderstood and she used my debit card.
Oh, no.
So I wound up draining my bank account to pay my actors because it was a SAG shoot. Now, I will say my actors all worked for chicken feed, but it was my chicken feed. So that, you know, that's something that you say, oh, you know, if I need costumes for a recreation shoot, I know what my budget is and I pay for them. If I need costumes for my film, I had a wardrobe person and I said, tell me how many of those you can still return after the shoot. You have to penny pinch. because, you know, because your budget just keeps going up and up and up. What starts out like, oh, I can do that. That's you know, affordable. And I was like, oh, wait, what's that?
And and I know you've had an amazing career, because I say, just like looking through looking through the notes you sent over and going through your background. But when you put this, you've made this film, you've got this film out, did you ever think, or not even when after the film's completed, was there any time that you thought, you know what, if I'd have taken a different career path at an earlier time in my life, doing work of fiction, as opposed to being involved in documentaries, I suppose it's one of those what if moments, because what I'm trying to say bad is you've done it, and I'm sure you loved your film. Did it make you think, actually, should I have chosen this career path at some other time in my life? Did that ever cross your mind?
Oh, it of course it did. But I think the thing is, if you asked me what made you start making films, I would say when I realized I could write them.
Right.
Because I don't want to direct someone else's script. I let me rephrase that. I would, but in general, I'm not out to be a director. I just want to make, you know, what I want to make my art, not someone else's. Some of the directors I love, you know, and revere didn't really write their own scripts, but you know, I can't see myself in that position. And I think some of that has to do with the fact that I've never cared to be an executive in television. I fell into television midlife because I went back to school and got an advanced degree. And I'm only in nonfiction because that's what was easy at the time to fall into. You know, and true crime is, it's interesting for a while, you know, to work in it. But I think it was just really, I'm being long-winded for nothing. I think it was when I realized I could write. So I didn't realize I could write until later.
Oh, okay. And well, they say everyone's got a book in them. I don't think I've got a book in me. There's no chance of me ever writing. In fact, although I love talking to filmmakers, the thought of actually doing something to make a film scares me to death. And I think part of that is because I know the trauma that filmmakers go through. And you've already touched upon that with the finance. But it's not just that, it's that everyone, you know, particularly when you're writing, producing, directing, everyone's going to look at you to carry the can, aren't they? So you've got to make the right decisions.
I was just going to say, everyone who returns your trucks and hits a car, you're responsible for.
That
happened to me twice.
No, really?
Yeah. So, I'm not the one returning all the trucks for the shoot. I'm not the one returning the equipment. So you have to be cognizant of everything that's going. Yes, you have a line producer, you have an assistant director, but at the end of the day, it's your project.
Yeah, so exactly. And I've asked this, there's me saying I'm not going to ask you, this isn't a tricky question, but just a fun question. I've asked this before a couple of filmmakers. So you've directed, you've written, produced. If we could just get rid of the producing for a moment. So you're either a writer or a director. If I was Steven Spielberg and I came to you and said, look, I'll give you the opportunity to either write a film that won't be changed, it will go as it's written, or direct a film or that won't be changed, it will be as you direct it. You've got a choice. You've got to do one or the other. Which one would it be and why? And I should bookend that by saying this film will be the number one at the box office, the greatest film since Citizen Kane. So that's a given, right? So just to make it a little bit more difficult. So which one of those would you go for?
I would probably go for directing.
Right.
Because the one thing that I, now I'm going to get long-winded again, but I'll try to make it short because I know we don't have that much time, in that the beauty of putting a film together, if you love film, is people have said to me, oh, you like Michelangelo Antonioni, you're pretentious. Well, no, look at his set. Look at his set design. Look at the colors. Look at the detail. In Blow Up, he painted the grass in the park.
And it's an incredible film, I should say. That is an absolute gem of a film.
Yeah, But he painted.
Incredible.
Because the grass was not green enough. So he painted every frame. Painting every frame. So when we were planning, the beauty of working with a cinematographer that's into what you're doing is, once you write the script, it's done. But the planning of the production is, to me, the most exciting part, because you're saying, here's our color palette. In every frame, I want these color, you know, so then it's, I'm very bad on technical terms. I think it's called a LUT.
That's right. Well, that's right. For the color grading normally, isn't it?
You deal with the cinematographer, their LUT, and then when you work with the editor in post-production, they have to match the LUT.
That's right.
Or you create a new LUT with your editor, with the cinematographer's, you know, input.
Yeah.
That's more exciting, I think, than finishing a script. Although finishing a script is pretty exciting. But to put it, to piece it together like that, and to see actors, you know, I didn't use, just, you know, for your edification, or I didn't use the shooting script as the final script because my actors improv.
Right, brilliant.
And I used some of their improv instead because it just worked better in the scene. So I'm not that precious, you know. It's my story. They can you know, improv and cut lines that they didn't feel comfortable with, or, you know, but still seeing it, and seeing it as you're getting cuts from the editor is really, really exciting, to see those colors, to see how they work, to see, and, you know, as I said before, with a low budget film, you do the best you can.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You're like, wow, I got that with that. I was able to accomplish that. And that's very satisfactory, satisfying.
No, it really is a brilliant film. And what's, I'd say next, I'm sure you've done loads of work since then, but what film-wise is next? Can you give us an idea?
Well, depending if how much I have to travel in the near future, I'm planning, if it works out, and I'm probably going to do it non-SAG because it's much cheaper way. I'm going to shoot another short, a much shorter short called Detective Instinct. It's a nasty Pinter-esque black comedy.
Oh, Pinter-esque. I like that.
It's very Pinter-esque, I think. But, you know, that's the next thing on the horizon. I'm also writing two features that I'm hoping to finish by maybe end of year. It takes a long time to write a feature.
Yeah.
So hoping, you know, those happen. I'll send those scripts out to the festivals. See if, you know, hopefully, what I'm hoping is somebody else will fund, you know, my future projects.
No, of course. Charles, absolute pleasure to talk to you. It really was. And those 25 minutes, as always, go like grease lightning. But it's been, it's been an absolute joy to talk to you. And thank you very, very much for taking the time out to chat with us.
Thank you.